Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good evening and welcome to Heroes of the North State. I'm your host, Michelle Slade from My Umbrella Marketing. And this evening, I got to tell you, I have the privilege, if you haven't tuned in before, we're going to give you a little bit of a background of Heroes of the North State and why the guests that are here tonight are true, true local heroes. It's just a perfect match for what we have been doing here at the station since 2018. So back in 2018, I was sitting at home just like many of you, and the car fire broke out. And I was in the process of planning my son's wedding, and in fact, he got married during the car fire, like when it was in its height. And the community itself was in a different climate. The community itself was, at least in my circles, there was a little bit of murmuring about dissatisfaction of, you know, what was happening in, you know, on the council or with the board of directors or in the business community in general. And that saddened my heart. And then the car fire happened, and something, you know, out of tragedy comes blessings sometimes. And so with that, our community was still silent, and they rose above and immediately went into action, like we always do here in the North State, and started helping others who were misfortunate. So those who maybe lost their home, needed a place for their pet to stay. I can help you. Come on over here. Need a toothbrush? Do you need some groceries? You can come stay at my house. Complete strangers. This is what I started hearing in the community. And I'm sitting at home with my family, and I'm thinking, and I say to them, we need a show that shines a light on local heroes who rise above just simply because it's the right thing to do. No one told them to. Their employment didn't make them do it. They are just good-hearted people who decided to make a difference in the lives of someone they know or didn't know. And so out of that, lo and behold, did I know that there was another circle, another community in our town who was touched by the car fire as well and had the same passion and wanted to come together on a complete 100% volunteer basis and help out not just a few, but our entire community and the entire North State and those who travel to and from it. And that group is the Friends of Chappie. So welcome, gentlemen. I have the honor of introducing to you Chris Straub. He's the president. Welcome, Chris.
Hi, thank you for having us here.
Absolutely. And then along with him is Mike Tandy. He's the vice president. Thank you, Mike, for joining us.
Hi, Michelle. Good evening.
So I have to admit, so Mike and I have known each other for a very long time, and we actually work side by side in an office together every once in a while, but completely different businesses. And about a month ago, we were talking just about our, you know, love of community and what we do. And Mike started sharing with me Friends of Chappie. And because I had not actually been involved in that, when he started telling me how the mission and how it started and started evolving, I go, you have to come on Heroes of the North State. Because, ladies and gentlemen, this is a really good example of two gentlemen and everyone that's associated with them really rising above. So with that being said, I'd like to introduce you now to Chris. Now, Chris, let's start and give our community a little bit of a background of who you are. Like, how long have you lived in our community, and do you have family here?
Well, I was born and raised in the Reading area.
A native.
1968. Was born here, went to Grant School, went to Shasta High School. Got my first four-wheel drive when I was, just graduated out of high school. Had a junky old 1982 Dodge pickup. Took it everywhere. I thought I was just the king of the earth.
So, question for you. I was born in 68, and then fast forward to, you know, when I was 17. We used to go four-buying over where the Target store is now. Did you used to take your trucks down there? Because that was one of my favorite spots.
Absolutely not, man. That was... That was private property, and we wouldn't be caught dead out there in that mud field.
That's a true story. Well, you know, I was a girl, and the boy wanted to go, so we did. So continue. Sorry.
I grew up, learned to love four-wheeling, and among other things, I'm a professional driver. I drive a gas tanker for Valley Pacific. I've been doing that for about 20 years.
All right.
That funds my four-wheeling habit, which is pretty expensive.
Yes, exactly.
I also have a wife, kids. One of them, my daughter Barbara, is involved with the Friends of Chappie. She does a lot of work helping us out with any number of things, IT support and just running errands. She's just a general go-getter.
Nice.
Fortunately, my wife's supportive of all the time I spend on this and goes out and bumps around in the woods with me. So, we have a great time with this.
Perfect. Well, thank you, and thank you again for joining. So then, Mike, longtime native, I believe, yourself. So tell us your story.
Oh, my goodness, Michelle. Well, I got off the Mayflower. I've been here essentially all but 3 years of my life. And those are the first 3 years of my life. Parents were from Anderson, graduated high school there. I was born during the war, World War II, and grew up here in Reading. Went to school here and went to college here as well. Started a career in banking. That was my primary go-to. Got a daughter and a son. Both graduated here at Enterprise High School. That's why the guy sitting next to me is from Shasta. I'll try to be nice.
A little rivalry.
It really is. And developed a real love for four-wheel drive. I started with a 68 Bronco many years ago. Wish I had that back. Restored a Jeep for my dad and mom back in 1981. Which I have to this day. My daughter and her husband and their friends and my late wife and I used to ride out at Chappie all the time in our quads and four-wheel drives. And so it's been a part of my DNA and my history. I grew up on Shasta Lake, essentially.
Yeah.
And spent my whole life here. And it's really an incredible feeling to be a part of something that's so good and wholesome and growing and doing something for the broad public benefit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is what Friends of Chappie is.
Yeah. So then the two of you living your lives, different high schools, mm-hmm. raising families, careers, how did you meet?
Well, you want to start or you want me to?
Sure, I'll hit this one.
Okay.
We've actually only met just recently, like within the last few years.
Okay.
Friends of Chappie, before it was actually a 501c3 nonprofit, really had some just ground level roots, like you mentioned. We started with the car fire, and after the car fire, BLM needed a lot of help because the car fire affected so much of the BLM land and the Shasta Chappie area in particular. There was a lot of damage done out there to roads, barriers, erosion problems. They just don't have the resources that you think the huge government does. They really do rely on the public taking a personal interest in taking part and helping out there. It makes a huge difference for those guys. So, the Reading Black Sheep, of which I've been a member of since probably 97, I guess. It's been a long time. Anyway, they volunteered to go out there and do some of the work. The Post-Wildfire Recovery Alliance.
Yeah. So before you go into that, tell us what Reading Black Sheep is.
Oh, I'm sorry. Reading Black Sheep is a local 4x4 club.
Okay.
They're an offshoot of the Rat Pack, which is a much older club. But the Black Sheep was established in 1981, and they've been operating continuously ever since. Have, what are we, about 23, 24 members right now, I think?
I think so. I think that's close.
So then, Mike, you were a member as well?
I was a member also of Black Sheep.
Okay.
Yeah, Black Sheep's actually pretty important to our story because, honestly, they're the manpower behind all these great ideas.
Yeah.
Anyway, we started up out there as volunteers, and that gave us an opportunity to meet Sky Zafrano, who is presently the outdoor manager out there, outdoor recreation manager for that area. He was heading up that effort along with Dell Albright and some of the other folks with the Post Wildfire Recovery Alliance.
Okay.
And at the end of the day, they treated us to some burgers and drinks and things, and we were sitting around. There was a couple of piles of dirt over there at the edge of the parking lot. And I says, "Hey, Sky, would it be okay if we just go and play on those?" And he says, "Well, sure, they're just piles of dirt. We're going to haul them off later anyway." Yeah. He says, in fact, we've been thinking about, thinking that there ought to be something like that down here, you know, a playground or a play area where people could kind of test out the rigs and, you know, see what they could really do with them in a safe place without causing damage to the countryside. So we got to talking and looked around, and I says, well, what about that spot over there? It's overgrown and not used. It looks like that'd be a great place. Could we haul in some rocks and maybe set something up? He says, well, yeah, there's an erosion problem back in there, and we could lay the rocks in there, and that'll address our erosion problem. And, you know, we can set it up in such a way that it's fun to drive on, won't tear anything up, cleaned out the brush, and that's kind of where we had our real genesis. Another buddy of mine happened to be volunteering on that same project, Joe Albion. And, you know, I knew right away I was in over my head just by myself. So I grabbed Joe and,
that's right.
And I says, hey, you got to come and talk to this guy, right?
Yeah.
He's, you know, I think we might have something we can get started here.
So can I stop you there and just clarify? So prior to the car fire, when everything was in its natural state, were there riding trails already out there?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there were still
a huge area.
Okay. So there were some, but just not in that particular area where you were that day.
Yeah. This is
okay.
This is right down at the staging area below the dam. Just
I see. There's
a staging area. There's parking. There's room for dirt bikes to ride and stuff. Big flat area. And we just chose a little spot off to the side that was out of the way.
Had nice.
The right kind of terrain and looked like it needed some love. So.
Yeah.
So we took advantage of that.
So what was your volunteer activity right after, during, what were you out there doing that day? Cleaning brush, pulling up debris?
We did a lot of stuff. There was probably at least 100 people from
wow.
different community organizations, the Black Sheep, the Rat Pack, a few Rat Pack guys were there. The Reading Dirt Riders are a big force out there. They do a lot of
so
positive work out
everybody
there.
Everybody came to clean up one big loved clean up the area.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of people in the community that actually care and take action on these things, and that was one of the occasions where that all came together. So, yeah, they were cleaning up.
So, Chris, I keep stopping you, but I'm gonna stop you right there. We're gonna take a quick commercial break, and we'll pick up right when we come back. So, we'll be right back.
Fought. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel is a full-service organization with department staffed with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is Financial Advisor Susan Eastman at 530-244-7199. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Again, that number, 530-244-7199.
Plan your day with the Sue McClain News Hour on KCNR. Your weekday weather forecast equips you to tackle any weather, rain or shine. Sponsored by the Queen of Dragons, a local champion delivering premium flour, edibles, and concentrates with free delivery to Shasta Lake. Their Flower Fridays deal runs all weekend until stock's gone, so grab it fast. Support local by visiting X, Facebook, or thequeenofdragons.com. KCNR keeps you in the loop. every day. Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Heroes of the North State, and here with me tonight are friends of Chappie. And if you don't know what that is, it's all about all the off-road stuff that everyone in our community absolutely loves and their involvement and how they're really giving back to the community. Just before the break, we've been talking with Chris Straub, the president of Friends of Chappie, and he was giving us a little bit of the history. So, Chris, I'm going to throw it back to you and let you pick up where you left off.
Oh, okay. I'll try and get this back where I was. Joe and I had a talk with Sky Zaffrano. Turns out to be like our new best friend.
Okay, good.
As far as BLM concerns, he's a really great guy. The two of us plus another friend of ours pitched in to buy some boulders and have them hauled out there. And Sky reciprocated by renting a machine and doing some other things, came out and operated the machine for us, basically just let us direct how we wanted to do this. So he got his objectives taken care of with erosion control, and we got a cool new place to play.
Yeah.
We got a few extra things to tidy it up, rake everything out, make it all look like a fun place to go. And then we started encouraging people to come out and play on it. And
nice.
The more people that come out and use it, the more, the more we can sell that as, hey, you know, we should build more of this because people like it.
Yeah.
And we've really just built on that. Joe and I continued working on that and building our relationship with Sky, which is really the foundation of what all this was.
Mm-hmm.
It was realizing that we're not just dealing with a government entity. We're dealing with a person that we have to build a relationship with and gain his trust. And show him that we can do the things right in the interest of the community and keep everything safe and with coloring within the lines of BLM, which is, if you've ever tried to do anything for a government agency, you know this is a modern miracle happening right
here. Yeah, I was just going to say that. I mean, you've made inroads where it's hard for people to get to.
Yeah. Yeah, that relationship that we've built there is really just the core of what makes this work.
Yeah. Fantastic. So then through all of that, so fast, so you, how many projects do you think? So at some point you met Mike, so about how much time spanned?
Oh,
how long was the organization going before?
Yeah, so we were an unofficial organization, just a subsidiary of the Black Sheep, really, since they're really our labor force, like I said.
Yeah.
They've just done so much, like they've hauled rocks, they've done all kinds of crazy things.
Yeah,
helping us out. They donate money, time, effort, machines, you name it. We can't do this without all their support. But we really kind of playing small ball still, and Joe left the state to pursue his own interest. I was left to try and keep this going, and we had some success, but my business acumen is shaky at best, being a truck driver.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I had volunteered for the Wheeling with Cops event out of Paradise, and Mike also had volunteered there, and we met up there and had a discussion, and he mentioned that he kind of liked the work that we were doing, and he'd be interested in giving us a hand with that.
Well, okay, so that's a really good segue, but I have a couple things to clear up in my own mind and maybe some of our listeners. So when the car fire happened in 2018, can you give me like an estimate? How much time had passed before you started your first project with a bunch of volunteer groups?
Oh, let's see. The next spring, I think it was, we did the organized cleanup. That was when we met Sky, and then the next fall.
Yeah.
By the next fall, we had started our first project, and we've been doing usually a project in the spring and a project in the fall, mm-hmm. just about every year. In the summer, it's just way too hot to do anything, and
yeah.
we all work like full and a half time jobs.
Exactly.
So you know, we're doing this in our spare time and just squeezing it in, but it's really a passion. You know, we mm-hmm. just really enjoy the. We like doing it. We like the results. It's kind of, I tell guys that it's kind of like taking, when you were a kid and you go play in the sandbox and,
yeah.
you know, it's like, hey, I'm going to build a road here and I'm going to jump this truck over there. And, you know, yeah. we're just, it's a lot of hard work, but we have a good time at it, you know.
So that was my childhood. We had rock driveway and I built the Flintstone Village a million times because I would get it done and Dad would come home from work. So I can see that. So you know what I think is really amazing to me? So after the car fire, of course, the landscape looked incredibly different. And to think that there are all these volunteer groups out living their passionate heart, giving after work on the weekends unselfishly so that when we want to go out into our community and enjoy it and make new memories, it's because of you we're able to do that. So thank you.
Oh, you're absolutely yeah. welcome. I've got to tell you, when we have events out there and when I see just people out there playing and having a good time,
yeah.
that's my reward. That's all I want out of it.
Fantastic.
I just love it.
Mm. Okay, so then Mike Tandy, he's our vice president for those of you just joining. So Mike, the two of you met. So give us a little bit of your history and the passion and how you got involved.
Well, I was at the moment, I was a member of the Rat Pack, and
okay.
I had candidated with the Black Sheep because I liked doing four-wheel drive. It's been in my blood since I was a really young guy.
So both are, how do you classify the, because I don't know cars, the clubs?
They're four-wheel drive off-road okay. clubs.
Okay.
And so the Rat Pack, as Chris mentioned earlier, was the original, started back in the 70s. Black Sheep came along in 1981. So Chris did a presentation at a Black Sheep meeting one night, and it was so profoundly good that I actually got interested in what was going on and what they were doing.
Okay.
So I approached Chris after the meeting and I said, you know, if I could be of any help, because I have a business background, I've run nonprofits, so forth, if I can be of any help, I'd love to help you guys out. So as time evolved and more activity was taking place and I got a little closer to the action, I began to realize they really needed to think about separating off and becoming an actual 501c3, a public benefit corporation.
Yeah.
Because Chappie Shasta is a public facility. So horseback riding, bicycle riding, motorcycle riding, side-by-sides, quads,
yeah.
four-wheel drive, it's open to the public.
Everybody.
Everybody. So this seemed to me to be a really unique opportunity to do something very myopic and very focused at one particular area and only that area, mm-hmm. being Chappie Shasta.
So
we began to visit and talk.
Can you talk about how Chappie Shasta got its name? Like, give us a
little... Chris can give you a really
okay.
good history on that.
Okay, I'll let you finish and then we'll come back
yeah.
over to Chris.
So I saw this as an opportunity to do something a little more bold and do it in a way that would be inviting of all the public to come and participate. Small clubs really can't do that.
Yeah.
So in that vein, we began to talk and hold a series of meetings and develop some interest. And then I actually kind of got them started and got the 501c3 going and got that in place for us. So we actually became a recognized nonprofit in September of last year.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was moving very quickly.
And that's a game changer because
your
funding arm changes, how you can accept donations, what you can do.
Exactly. And it also facilitates inviting more businesses to come and participate. They have a similar kind of vision. And what I especially liked about that was it invites the whole entire community.
Yeah.
This is our public land. This is everybody's public land.
Mm-hmm.
And here's this small group of volunteers doing something in a new model, in a collaborative sense, with the Bureau of Land Management, which has been
incredible.
A fantastic partnership. And we're doing something that's so unique. The more I investigate, the more I find out we are the only nonprofit in California doing something focused at a particular BLM site.
Yeah.
So we are partnering very, very successfully with them. And it's exciting to be a part of that.
Well, and if you think about it, I mean, Chris, kudos to you. No wonder you're the leader and the president, because for, what, nearly 7 years you did this in an island, just friends
and myself
members coming together?
Myself and Joe.
Yeah.
And, you know, my friends at the Black Sheep.
He says humbly.
I'm certainly not doing this all by myself. Like I said, I work constantly.
Yeah.
And, you know, Joe also had some really great business acumen, and he was a contractor. He was self-employed. So he could make some of the time to go do a lot of the legwork that I just can't do.
Yeah.
You know, so he was really important.
But that's why it takes a team of volunteers, a team of anything, because you all bring your own natural talents. I mean, look, when running into Mike, and he has this business background and nonprofit background and understands how to set up nonprofits, it raised the bar for everything.
Absolutely, and that's really helped us get our feet back under us now that Joe's left.
Yeah.
It's really legitimized the organization, gives us more focus. We've got, you know, I'm learning to delegate some of these things that I just can't do myself, and thank goodness I've got so many great people that are just always there to volunteer, and they've got the talents and skills. All they need is the direction. They're like, hey, you know, what do you want us to do? We'll make it happen.
So you have all this, got all this energy. You've always had it, but now it's renewed, I'm sure, because you have the nonprofit arm. And so what, ooh, I hear, that's our cue, hear that music. We're going to take a commercial break. This is a great chance to, come back and learn about, like, what are the Friends of Chappie doing and how is it changing not only today, but the future generations. We'll be right back.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
The Ramsey Show.
You actually can help people, and you don't help them by giving them a government program. You help them by showing them the way out. People love me enough to put their arm around me and show me a different way. I didn't figure it all out in my own head. So there's a power to hope, but that's not some kind of false panacea positive thinking way. It works. You can't positive think your way into everything, but you can't negative think your way into anything.
Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
It was on the streets of Pinar del Rio. You remember the smell of her hair. You thought, white gardenias. You shared dinner, then coffee. Then came that beautiful aroma of the cigar. You forgot her name, but not the cigar. La Roma de Cuba, mi amor. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Hi there. It's a sunny reminder from Alliance Heating and Air. Thinking about going solar? Now's the time to act. The 30% federal solar tax credit may be ending December 31st, 2025. But if you install your system soon, you could still save an average of up to $12,700. Don't wait. Call Alliance Heating and Air at 530-221-2642 to lock in your savings. We make it simple. We make it smart. And that's why everybody calls us.
Everybody calls us.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Michelle Slade with Heroes in the North State, and we have two great heroes here tonight. This is a great segment. We're talking about Friends of Chappie, and with us Mike Tandy, Vice President, Chris Straub, President. And when we ended, we were talking about, okay, it's 2024. We're now a nonprofit. These two gentlemen met, and their team is growing. They had a great foundation. That's how they got there. Now their team's growing. And let's tell our listening audience, like, gentlemen, either one of you jump in and tell us about, first of all, how did you get the name? What is Shasta Chappie?
Well, I had actually been doing this project for some time before I asked myself that same question. And it occurred to me, I don't know what a Chappie is.
No, and you know what occurred to me, and I'm embarrassed to say, I have lived here most of my adult life, all of my adult life, and half of my childhood, and I've utilized many of the trails and gone out and enjoyed all of our mountain region, and I probably didn't even know it was Shasta Chappie, so thank you for educating me and anybody else out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, turns out Chappie was Eugene Chappie, who was a California member of the California State Legislature from 1964 to 1980, and then United States Congressman, served three more terms, 1981 to 1987. It turns out he was a big Jeep guy.
Okay.
I am a Toyota guy. But we won't hold that against him, because it seems like he was a pretty decent fella. Anyway, he was a big advocate for motorized off-highway use, which, as we all know, is a little bit of a contentious subject. Turns out he got to talking with one of his buddies, a person who was really a pro-environmentalist, Edwin L. Zeberg. Between the two of them, they proposed the Chappie-Zeberg Off-Highway Vehicle Act of 1971, designed to identify and set aside areas specifically for the use of off-road vehicles. So that's how we ended up with Chappie as the namesake out here. He's also been recognized and memorialized on a cabin at Rubicon Springs.
Okay.
Apparently he had a lot of work to do around the Rubicon and El Dorado Forest area. In 2010, he was inducted to the Off-Road Hall of Fame. So,
wow.
Yeah, he was a pretty remarkable guy. And we have a lot of reasons to thank him for having the foresight to set aside these places.
Well, he left a legacy.
Absolutely.
For sure. Mm-hmm. So, thank you, gentlemen, for picking that up. So then, with that, so you now you have your nonprofit, and what was the first project? Can you remember what the first project was you did after you had your 501c3 established?
Our most recent project out there has been what we informally call the Chappie Bowl.
Say that one more time.
Informally, we've named it the Chappie Bowl.
Bowl.
Yeah, we have actually named most of the features that we've installed out there and put signs. We installed a kiosk with a map.
That's great.
Sky allowed us to install signposts with the names of the features on them, so that people can find them and know what they're called when they're referring to them.
As you move forward, how much area are we talking about? I read somewhere, and I was looking for my notes.
Yeah.
It was like 52,000 acres.
Yeah. 250 miles of trails.
That's the whole Shasta Chappie.
Mm-hmm. That's the whole area. Yeah.
Area. What portion do you know about what size Friends of Chappie are working on?
We're barely a postage stamp.
Yeah. So there's a lot to be done.
A lot to be done.
Oh, this is an enormous park. It's such a huge resource.
Wow. And it's all dedicated to off-road.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, bear in mind, it's a patchwork. There's a little bit of forest land, and there's some private land that belongs to the mining companies and remediation companies up there.
Yeah.
So, when you do head out there, be mindful that some of that's private land, and be respectful of that, of course.
Well, perfect. Okay, so then you went. So you've been planting trees.
Yeah, yeah. Robert Fairchild, one of our Black Sheep members, and Friends of Chappie associate, took it upon himself to purchase 300 ponderosa pine seedlings. Turns out you can't just plant anything out there. It has to be approved by BLM.
Oh, that too.
You know, and that and native plant species, which ponderosa pines are.
Yeah.
So we had a great time. The whole club went out, and we spent a day planting the little guys and going out the next summer and watering them and trying to get them to grow. So we lost quite a few of them, but a bunch of them are still growing. Some of them are knee-high now. And Larry Smith is still working on that. He goes out there and plants some new ones. He's growing a few of them in pots and taking them out there so they got a
better chance. Yeah. You know, when I was a teenager, I went out with the Forest Service. Somehow, I don't know, rules were probably different back then, to do that, to plant trees after a fire. And that is a lot of hard work.
It is.
Yeah. So, okay, so I'm sorry, I keep interrupting you. Go ahead and you can tell us about all the projects that you have going on.
Oh, yeah.
Either one of you gentlemen.
So, yeah, we've our most recent project was the what we called the Chappie Bowl. We had purchased some concrete pipes and some more boulders, a couple of truckloads of boulders. And we had the good fortune, Mr. Steve Clark had become involved with us, happens to own a large excavator and a rock truck.
So nice.
He was a tremendous asset in this because it would have cost us a fortune to do what he did. And he was an amazing operator. He got so much work done. Also, Jeremiah Fisher, Fisher's Concrete, came out with a smaller machine. And just the two of them just did a ton of work out there, not just placing rocks and things, but cleaning up trails and grading and making sure that the water bars are in place. And, you know, it just did a great job.
Yeah.
And we want to thank them for that because they saved us a bunch. And it looked really great when they were done.
Well, it's astronomical just what one boulder costs. I can't imagine what a truckload. What is a water bar? What is that?
Oh, it's just a feature dug into the roadway to drain water off to the side so that it doesn't accumulate in a faster stream and erode the roadway.
Right. So has that been an issue or a problem because, you know, with the storms that we have coming through?
And because of the car fire.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, erosion control was a big issue.
So do you think your first few years you spent a lot of time doing that, or was that more BLM?
BLM takes care of most of those things throughout the area. But any time that we're involved moving any kind of dirt or disturbing anything, part of finishing up, we button up with everything and make sure that proper erosion control is in place.
Nice.
You know. One of the reasons that Sky really likes what we do out there is because we take the time to, we clean it up. We don't leave slash or trash or rough things. We're out there with rakes manicuring the thing like it was our backyard.
Right.
It looks good when we're done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So explain to me what the bowl is. What is the purpose? What's the use of it?
Well, take her on a ride, Chris.
Like, is it literally a hole in the ground, kind of, and you drive into it?
Huge boulders and concrete cylinders. So, yeah.
Oh, fun.
Yeah,
I would love that.
Yeah, those of us with baser instincts, and we have these vehicles with big tires. We like to drive over things.
Gotcha.
You know, sometimes it's a rock, a pipe, a car.
Yeah. So where would you find that? How do you get to that?
Oh, it's right there at the parking lot below the dam at the staging area.
Okay.
So that particular one, you really can't miss it. It's right next to the parking lot. And there's a fair number of other features there that are visible from that spot. We've also built a few things up on Trail 19.
Okay.
There's some concrete features that we built. And we had the good fortune to shirt tail in the back of one of the Redding Dirt Riders grant programs, which enabled us to build some roads from scratch.
Oh, all right.
So we got to go choose the routes, build them from scratch, have them approved through all the BLM's processes. So those are our trails, and we're free to build them how we see fit.
That's incredible. Well, and changing the landscape, you leaving your own mark, that's nice. Yeah. So then projects you're currently working on now or that you've done? Because there's been a few of them, I believe, right?
Yeah.
So you did the Trail 16 erosion repair. jump right in, gentlemen, if I can. You did the cleanup phase. So the new signage?
Yeah, the new signs, that's actually the Robert Fairchild again. He helps out with a lot of those things. He built that post pounder, went out and bought the he actually bought the labels for the signs.
Oh, wow.
You know, that's not BLM, BLM approved it, but we went and bought them.
So it's all donated. So your time's donated. The materials have been donated. The land we all benefit from.
Yeah, a lot of this is coming out of our own pockets. It's our own time.
Wow.
Sky reciprocates with a lot of this. You know, if we bring something to the table, he'll look and see what he's got available in his budget. He helps us out a lot.
Good.
You know, so this is really a mutual benefit. Mm-hmm. We're not just doing it
likes it.
Yeah, they're not doing anything.
He's
helped us out a bunch. A few years back, he bought us like $10,000 worth of boulders.
Yeah.
I mentioned the guys hauled them up to these new trails with Jeeps pulling them on trailers. These are like thousands and thousands of pounds at a time.
Did you give any video of that? That would be great to share. So just for those of you listening, you should go to the website and check it out because they've got some great photos on there. That's what I'm looking at as we're all talking. It's very impressive.
Yeah, you want to talk dedication. Larry Smith didn't have a trailer that he could use to volunteer. He built a wooden skid.
Oh, my goodness.
And drug rocks up one at a time on a wooden skid.
So what I hear is Larry's got, he can do more of this. We just need funding.
Right. guys are great.
Yeah, perfect. And then, so speaking of that, it takes a lot of volunteers. So, Mike, we were talking about that during the break, all three of us. And I'm going to kind of put that over onto you and just kind of share what you've seen or what you've been part of.
Yeah, you know, I've had the good pleasure of being able to work with nonprofits, a number of them over the years. And it's always, their success is really born on the immediate volunteers that are there pitching in, doing work. You know, as a part of their donation.
Yeah.
And we've got a great team. One of the best teams I've ever seen. They're highly motivated. They're particularly interested in developing and maintaining and preserving what we have out here as a natural resource. And collaboratively, they function very well. There's six on our board of directors.
Mm-hmm.
And Nora Smith, Dave Johnson, Robert Fairchild, Chris, myself, Mark Durart. And they're just a great bunch of people that are really, you know, most of them work full-time. I'm the one that doesn't work full-time, so I have a little more time to do things. But they all work together, pull together. And as a result of that, we've been able to attract other people. The Rat Pack has been a tremendous help to us, and at least verbally talking about us. But the Black Sheep, especially so. Every one of those members have been contributory in so many regards. So without them, nothing much can happen.
Yeah, that's true. So when we come back, we're going to talk more about some fundraisers that are coming up and some ways the community can get involved, even if you don't have an off-road vehicle. We'll be right back.
Ready to grow your business? KCNR is the last locally owned and operated radio station in our area. We reach thousands of listeners in our community every single day. Our professional production team creates custom ads that grab attention and get the results for your business. And you'll be surprised on how affordable advertising with KCNR is. Our listeners are your customers. Call Sue McClain today at 530-605-4565.
Hey, Redding, save big on Black Bear Diner's new basket bundles. Get your paws on a choice of sandwich, side, and drink for only $11. A great meal at a great price. Basket bundles, now available at Black Bear Diner. Be sure to stop by for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Black Bear Diner just added 4 brand new and 4 returning classics to the menu. Black Bear Diner, 2205 Hilltop Drive. Get big value and so many choices at Black Bear Diner.
Black Bear Diner.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hey, it's your liberty-loving Latino amigo, Rich Valdez, host of America at Night. Weeknights, we're letting you know what's happening live all across America. We'll have newsmakers and experts coming on, talking about the hot topics of the day. Plus, in our third hour, whatever you want to talk about with open phones across America, our nightly town hall. I look forward to hearing from you on the next America at Night with me, Rich Valdez.
Weeknights from 7 to 10 p.m. on KCNR.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m.
Okay, guys,
Free Fire Radio,
seconds.
Right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 a.m., your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
Welcome back. I'm Michelle Slade with Heroes of the North State from My Umbrella Marketing. And tonight, friends of Chappie here live in the studio. We have Mike Tandy, Vice President, and Chris Straub, the President. And we've been talking about off-road vehicle riding. I don't even know the language these guys do. And how it's benefiting our community because it's a volunteer group going out with their own time, their own resources, their own money, their own, hopefully, no blood. No, and tears, but sweat, I'm sure. And it doesn't happen in an island, like we've been saying. It's community people coming together to make it happen. So, Mike, let me throw it over to you. This is our last break, so let's tell our listening audience, like, what do we have coming up that people can get involved in? Let's say they've never thought about it, or they don't have a vehicle that would qualify, but they still want to be involved on some level.
Well, thank you for asking. Our big annual fundraiser is going to take place October the 11th out of Shasta Dam, the base at the Chappie Shasta OHV Park. And registration for those that want to participate, we have room for about 30 participants of any types of vehicle, whether they're side-by-sides or they're Jeeps or Toyotas.
Our producer or, wanted to know.
Right. Or buggies or whatever they are. Can participate and sign up for that. There'll be a $10 entrance fee for those that are above 12 years old and under free.
Okay.
And with that, they get a raffle drawing ticket free. We'll have meals out there. There'll be hot meals for them. And they can come out and enjoy the show. We'll have an RTI ramp. We're going to have a little mini car show that'll be taking place out there. We'll also have, I think we're going to have some RC control cars out there for a little demonstration project. And so that'll be another interesting side to that. But this is our annual fundraiser. This is a time where what we raise, 100% of this money goes directly to Chappie.
Okay.
So we are, like I said earlier, we're very myopically focused in that regard. So every dime goes there. We're all volunteers. Nothing comes out of the pocket for us.
Yeah.
And what's nice about that is because we are able to work with the BLM and it's such a wonderful collaborative arrangement, we can utilize a lot of resource and develop that even further. So we promote safety. We promote responsible land use. We've got another 100 trees to plant out there. I should say Larry does and the rest of our crew.
Yes.
And so it's a great time to have a good family gathering, see some really fun stuff. Experience seeing the burnout show on the slide.
That's so when you talk about the show, is it literally you come and sit and watch?
Yes.
Okay. So what time does that happen again?
It's going to happen. Gates are going to open at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
And we'll get done probably in the late afternoon, I'm guessing around 5-ish, wouldn't you say, Chris?
Yeah, probably before 5.
Yeah.
So when you come out, do I bring my own lawn chair or do you have seating available?
Bring your lawn chair.
Okay, so if I come out and I've never been and I've never off-road, but it sounds really cool and I want the kids to watch it, I can grab a blanket, a lawn chair, and show up at any point in the day and something will be happening, or is it a designated time?
Something will be happening.
The
actual crawl section up over these rocks and these barriers that have been created will go on most of the day. Because the competition actually is going to start at about 9:30, and it'll take most of the day.
Yeah.
So there'll be each vehicle will be making two passes, and so by the time you take it takes them about 8 minutes around.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do the math, it's all day.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's awesome to see. If you go on our website at www.friendsofchappie.org,
yes,
you can pull it up. You can look at our website. You can see a lot of photos of what's going to take place this coming year.
Yeah. So Chappie, Chappie.
I-E. Right. Okay. Friendsofchappie.org. And you'll be able to see us, and you'll be able to go into our webpage and see all about us, our mission statement, some history about us, the volunteer, how to get connected, and join us on Facebook as well.
Nice.
So
where is this event? What part of the location out there? Where did you say, and I missed it?
It's at the Chappie Shasta OHV Park, which is directly below Shasta Dam. So you've got to go across the dam.
Okay.
Stay on the pavement. And when pavement ends, it'll be at a stop sign.
Okay.
You're right in the middle of it.
You're right there.
You're right there. And there's a campground there as well that's right below the dam, right on the Sacramento River.
Ooh, so maybe people could camp that night, make an evening of it.
Some will. We've got a number of clubs that will be setting up membership booths out there during the event. We've got Cal 4, which is coming. That's a statewide organization. There's 8,000 members and 160 clubs involved
with
them. They're coming up. They'll have a booth. Of course, the Black Sheep will have a booth. The Rat Pack will have a booth. Shasta Rock Rollers, I want to give them a kudo and a mention and a shout out. They had us go over and do a little presentation, and man, that's a great group of people. Mm-hmm. And we're hopeful that they'll come and join us and set up a booth as well. So we're there to promote all those that are interested in off-road, in off-roading at all, whatever that is.
Yeah.
And keeping in mind that this is a public place. This is for everybody. It's not just us.
So you can come and see the show that day, learn about it, and learn how maybe you and your family might start utilizing it if you don't already.
Absolutely.
So car shows happening, food and beverages, then the show. I don't know what you call that. The off-road show. And then can you bring your own food and water if you want to?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So no reason not to come.
No reason not to come.
Yeah.
It'll be a good day. It'll be fun. You'll see something. If you haven't ever seen it before, you'll be thrilled to see it. It's really challenging. In fact, it's kind of remarkable when you see what these guys can do. And if you go on our website, you'll have a good idea if you look at the pictures in there of what these rigs can do.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
Yeah, that I definitely don't want to miss it.
Me and my little 46 Jeep can't do that.
Oh. That gives you something to work on
but
in your garage.
There's things I can do, right.
Ah, we only have a minute and a half, gentlemen. Anything I've missed that we would like to chat about? I'm going to just throw it out really quickly. None of this happens for free. So please, if you're able to support this cause, we would love it. Visit the website, make a donation, come out, check it out, see how passionate both Chris and Mike are, and just join in the fun. And thank you so much, gentlemen, for following
your
heart, following your passion, and being heroes of the North State. We really couldn't do it without you. So thank you so
much. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely.
Yes, thank you. Sometimes there's airplanes I can't jump out. Sometimes it's bullshit. It's gotta be a good life. It's gotta be a good life. It's gotta be a good life.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.